Lesson today is found in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis concerning the offering up of Isaac by Abraham unto God. We left off speaking to you how that they came to the place which God had showed unto Abraham, and how that he spake unto the young men that were with him that they should remain, and that he and his son would go yonder and worship, and that they would come again to them. I said that Abraham had such strong faith to believe that God would even raise up Isaac from the ashes if it was so that he had to burn him. So strong was the faith of Abraham concerning the promises that God had given unto him about Isaac. For Isaac was the one in whom God would likewise raise up a seed from Abraham, and this seed would likewise be a multitude of people, more than the stars in heaven and more than the sands on the seashore. We find then that Abraham and his son, they left these young men and they went up. Abraham, he laid the wood that he carried upon the shoulders of Isaac, and Abraham, he took the fire and the knife in his hand, and they went up the mount. We have here a picture of Christ in Isaac. Isaac, he was carrying the wood, which was going to be used upon him for a burnt offering. We know that Christ likewise carried his cross, and he was nailed to the cross. In this respect, Isaac was a type of Christ. And we have Abraham, firm and faithful, carrying the water, carrying the fire, and carrying the knife, knowing what he was going to do with these things. And they went up the mount. And then we find that Isaac, he spake unto his father and said, "Father," he says, "here is the wood and the fire, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" You see in this that Isaac was likewise instructed while he was young in offering up sacrifices unto God, and that he questioned his father, where was the lamb that was to be used for a burnt offering? This question must have disturbed Abraham. Should he tell his son that he was going to be the lamb? Should he say unto him, "God has told me to take you and lay you upon the wood and offer you up"? It doesn't say in Scripture that he did. God gave him an answer to Isaac. We find that Abraham spake unto Isaac and said that God himself would provide a lamb for a burnt offering. Now whether he said this in obedience to God, whether he said it in faith, still it was true what he said. It was fulfilled what he said. It was the word of prophecy, in fact, that came out of his lips. Abraham, he was very much troubled, I believe, when this question came to him from Isaac. It is likewise a teachable question to us. When we come up to worship, have we brought the Lamb with us, namely Jesus Christ? Abraham said God himself will provide a burnt offering, a lamb. So God has, in this sense, provided a lamb as an offering, namely his dear son, Jesus. When there was no one in heaven, when there was no one upon earth that could take this position, then God chose his dear son Jesus to be the offering. God found in his son a ransom for his church, for his people. And we find that Abraham and Isaac went up the mount together. And when they came to the place, then Abraham built an altar. And he put the wood in order. And we find that he bound Isaac, his son. Isaac was somewhere near around 25 years of age when this took place. You do not read that Isaac would not let his father bind him. He gave no resistance to his father. From this we must gather that he must have told his son Isaac that God had commanded him to offer him up as a burnt offering, and that in obedience to the command of God he was doing this. And Isaac, he must have consented to God's command, and he must have said to his father, "Do as God has said you should do with me." He did not rebel. He did not try to escape or run away from his father. He did not struggle with him either. He could have. Abraham was an aged man, and he was 25 years of age, but he gave himself unto his father. His father bound him and laid him upon the wood. Isaac had to be bound. Christ was bound likewise and carried away. When he was in the garden, they came and took him prisoner, and they bound him. So Isaac, likewise, as a type of Christ, was bound too. Let us picture to ourselves, in our minds, what must have taken place when Abraham took Isaac and laid him on the wood. It was his only son, the son that he loved. And now he had him laying on the wood bound. I could picture in my mind that this man Abraham, he must have bent over the top of him and embraced him and kissed him with tears streaming down his face. Oh, and he must have been looking up unto heaven. This was what God wanted him to do. He was then to slay his son. And we find that Abraham, he took the knife, and he was going to slash his son's throat. He was going to kill his son because God had commanded him to do this. But just at that critical moment when he took the knife to slash his son, there came a voice from heaven saying, "Abraham, Abraham." And this stopped Abraham from doing what he intended to do. And this voice came from heaven. The angel of the Lord cried unto Abraham from heaven. He was the Lord of angels that was speaking here. It was Christ himself that spake in this manner unto Abraham. And he was commanded not to lay his hand upon the lad, and not to do him anything. "For now I know," he says, "that ye fear God, for thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son." Oh, my hearers, we see here the faith of Abraham. He was tempted by God, tried by God, and this proved that Abraham loved God above his only son, that he was ready to offer him up as a sacrifice at the commandment of God. Meditating upon this, thinking on this, my hearers, how much have we over for God? How little, if we have any, faith do we have in God? How little do we sacrifice unto God? Should God call on us to do as he did to Abraham, what objections would have come up in our minds, and how we would have probably listened to them and not given heed to the commandment of God. Oh, when we are in the service of God likewise, oh, how little love, how little faith we have towards that God who has called us and placed us in this work. Oh, I am sure many of God's dear servants, they're ashamed of themselves. They come so short when you read the history of Abraham and the wonderful faith that he had. He loved God above all, above his only begotten son. How much do you love God? Has it ever been put to the test that you love him? Have you ever been placed by God in a position like Abraham was, put on trial to see whether you had that faith in you that Abraham had, and that you were willing to do everything for God? Oh, I am afraid that we lack this faith. All this faith is a precious gift of God. Abraham had it not in his pocket. He didn't have it of his own mind and his own will, but God gave him this strong faith. Oh, to have such love as the Bible teaches us, to love God above all. This is something, my hearers. Abraham had this love at the beginning when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He could leave his father's house. He could leave his country. He gave obedience to the call of God. Has God called you in this way? Have you been given to leave everything? Is God the uppermost in your affections? Or should you be put on trial, my hearers? Or would you then, if it was possible, give your life, if it was called upon to be taken for the love of God? Oh, it is only by the grace of God and by what he gives us in our hearts that we can do these things. Abraham then was restrained from doing what God had commanded him to do. It was not God's intention that Isaac should die, that he should be a burnt offering. God has no delight in human offerings. It is God only that was satisfied with what he had wrought in Abraham and had brought to pass. God gloried in this, for it was his own work, and he was glorified therein. And now the angel of the Lord spake again from heaven the second time unto Abraham, and said unto him, Because thou hast done this, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only begotten son, in blessing I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sands of the seashore in number. And from thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Oh, my hearers, he had been spoken to before in this manner, that his seed would be as the stars and as the sand on the seashore. And now God confirmed it again and promised him that he would make him a blessing, and that from him would come the Messiah, out of whom likewise all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Oh, what a promise then Abraham had. Abraham, he turned around and he saw in the thicket, he saw what? He saw one ram caught with his horns in the bushes. And Abraham went and he took this ram. And Abraham and his son with him offered up this ram. What this must have been for Abraham and Isaac. Oh, what gratitude must have been flowing out of the heart of Abraham and Isaac towards God in heaven above. And oh, how thankful they were that God had provided an offering. This was the offering that God had provided. God gave this offering. It was his. And they took this offering and they offered it up back to God. It was again acceptable unto God. And oh, what a thank offering this must have been from both of these men. Oh, we could see Abraham untying his son, and they both kneeling down and granting unto God the sacrifices of thanksgiving for the wonder that he had caused to take place upon this mount. Oh, Abraham and Isaac, they returned back to the bottom of the mount, to the young men that Abraham had left there, to whom he had spoken and said, We will return again. They did. His word was verified. he returned back to these young men. This was a wonder too, for he had said that they would, and faith was fulfilled in this likewise. And we find that Abraham traveled from here to Beersheba. There probably Sarah had remained. There Abraham had dwelt for a number of years in the land of the Philistines. Beersheba, this place, was a place that is well noted of in Scripture, a beautiful place, a very fertile place according to the commentary, a place likewise where Jacob in his youth lived and grew up. And this place then, we find likewise Abraham had been and had made a covenant with the king Abimelech. This place then they returned to. And when they returned, you could picture Abraham coming to his place of abode and calling Sarah and telling her what had taken place. He hadn't said anything to her when he left. He held this to himself. But now we may see him and Isaac returning to Sarah and telling Sarah where they had been, what God had done, how wonderful God had provided a ram for a burnt offering instead of Isaac. Oh, my hearers, has God ever done anything for you in your life? Has he ever sent unto you, as he did unto Abraham, some wonderful deliverance? It was a critical moment for Abraham. It was that he was going to slay his son. It may be that you likewise have been in your family, in your wife, your children. You've had a trial. Maybe some sickness, some affliction took place with you, your husband, your children, your mother, your father. It was a moment that it seemed that this was the end for this person. But just when it seemed as if it would be the end, we find that God intervened, and God spared, God raised up again. And oh, you can never forget that if it has taken place in your life. How wonderful God appears at times. But this is the way God usually works. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. So it was here with Abraham and Isaac, and so it has probably been with some of you that are listening to me. So it was when they came home to Sarah, they related these things that had taken place. And it's nice if we have something like this in our life that we can go back to and say, then and then, God in his grace and his mercy spared whoever it was of your relatives. It may have been likewise that you were in a critical position in a spiritual sense. This takes place inwardly with many of God's dear children. Oh, when everything seems to go wrong, when we can't believe anymore that God has laid his hand of grace upon us, when we are in darkness and doubts and fears, when sin arises so strong and carries us away from God, and when we about give up all hope. I wonder if any of you have been there, given up all hope, whether you were the child of God or not, whether anything had ever come of it. Oh, has not God at that critical moment come into your heart? Has he not, with his precious Spirit, brought home his precious word to your soul, so fitting, it applied so to your particular case? Oh, what a wonder this was. When everything seemed to be gone, then God was there. So God still works by the blessed Spirit in the hearts of his dear children. Oh, he gives them an offering. He has appointed these offerings for his dear children, and these offerings are acceptable unto him. They are a broken heart and a contrite spirit, something that you and I cannot manufacture something that God gives. Oh, what a mercy to have such an offering, my hearers, acceptable unto God. These he still gives to poor sinners. Throughout the ages of eternity he has done this. And now we find Abraham living in Beersheba. This place he dwelt for a number of years. And now it came to pass after this that the Lord visited Abraham in an entirely different way. Abraham had had domestic happiness with his wife Sarah. They had a child, Isaac. They had been blessed by God. But now the time came that his domestic happiness would be brought to an end. For we read that Sarah, his wife, died. She was 127 years of age when she passed away. With her, it went as it is going to go with me and you. We are dust, and to dust we must return. So it went with Sarah. She passed away, and Abraham lost his partner in life. This must have been a blow to Abraham. Abraham came to mourn his dead. This was a time then of sorrow, of grief for Abraham in losing his beloved wife. Some of you that are listening to me have experienced something like this in life. You've lost probably your husband. You've lost probably your wife. And you remember that time. It was a time that you felt so lonely, so sad. Oh, it was a time that there was so much grief and sorrow to be found in you that you could hardly speak to anyone that you came to. So with Abraham, it was a time of sorrow for him. And he purchased a place where he could bury his wife. He purchased a field where there was a cave in this field, and in that cave they buried Sarah. This teaches us all, my hearers, that death, which is the greatest enemy of mankind, is sure to come. It'll come, we don't know when. Whether we be young, whether we be old, we must die. It may be today, it may be tomorrow. But with Sarah, it was a blessing. For Sarah was taken up to be with that Lord that had come down even on earth and had spoken in her very ears that she would have a son. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to die and to be taken up to be with God, to be with him forever and ever. Have you had someone in your relatives, someone that you were married to, someone that you believe had grace and has passed away? May it be a comfort to you to know that they are in joy and in happiness forever and ever in glory above. Sarah then, likewise, was resting in this place, in this cave. This cave was a field, and Abraham purchased it of the sons of Heth. And now we find Abraham in the next chapter. Abraham was old and well advanced in age, and God had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham then was getting very old. His wife was 127. He was 10 years older than her, so he was 137. And now Abraham, he had this son, Isaac. This was his beloved son. And his thoughts were centered upon him. Isaac had lost his mother, and now Abraham didn't have a wife, Isaac didn't have a mother. And we may be sure that Abraham was much exercised about Isaac, that he would receive a wife. He brought this matter to God, you may be sure. He was concerned. He didn't want his son Isaac to marry anyone that was in the land of Canaan. He didn't want his son married to an idolater, to one that didn't believe in God. He wanted his son to be married to someone of his own relatives, someone of his own family, someone of his own country. This was the concern of Abraham, a good concern, my hearers. Have you got children? Are they at the age that they probably are looking forward to be married? All the Bible teaches us and gives us instruction that we should see to it, if we are parents, that they do not marry outside of their own kind. Under Israel of old, God forbid them to marry outside of their own tribe even. If they had fathers and mothers, and they had an inheritance in the tribe that they were in, this inheritance was to descend either to the son or to the daughter. And if they married outside of the tribe, there was no inheritance that would be given unto them. It would remain in the tribe that they had been in. Therefore, God gave commandment that they should not marry outside of the tribe that they were in, so that their inheritance would remain. The Lord teaches us here likewise that we should not marry, as Abraham did not desire his son to be married to a Canaanite. And I'm sure if you are a Christian person, born and brought up under the religious teachings that we have, that you prefer to see your son or your daughter married to someone of your own kind. And in all probabilities, you may be doing like Abraham did. He prayed unto God that God would see to it that this would take place. And maybe, no maybe about it, Abraham received word from God that his son Isaac would receive a wife. And we find that Abraham called his servant and spake unto his servant and said unto him, that he did not want his servant to choose a wife from the Canaanites amongst whom they dwell, but that he would swear, make him swear by the Lord, that he would seek a wife for Isaac amongst his own kindred, amongst his own people, amongst his own country. Now this servant, his name was Eliezer, and he was a God-fearing man. We believe that Abraham had like a little church in his house, and that Abraham taught his house and the servants that he had the doctrines of salvation as they are to be found in Christ. And this man, Eliezer, he was a man that had the grace of God in his soul. And Abraham trusted this man. He had faith in this man. He committed everything that he had to this man. He was then the steward over the house of Abraham. The steward had charge of buying the food, buying the clothes, taking care of the money that came in, and doing everything that was necessary and that was good for the family. And every once in a while, the steward, he would have to lay the books open to the master and show him what he had been doing. Now, this was the work of this Eliezer. So Abraham trusted this man thoroughly, and he sought his help in this matter and asked him to put his hand under his thigh and to swear by God that he would not take a wife of the Canaanites amongst whom they dwell, but that he would go to his own country and get Isaac a wife. Now this was a problem for this man. Now this man, he answered Abraham and said, "Peradventure," he says, "the woman will not want to come. What must I do then? Take your son Isaac to this country?" "No," Abraham says, "thou shalt not take my son to that country." Now this man had an insight in what he had to do. He knew when he came to this country, he didn't know what woman he was going to meet. He didn't know the woman that Abraham was planning for Isaac to have, what member of the family it was. And he knew when he came to him that if he presented this case, most likely the woman would say, what? Leave my house, leave my parents, and go with you? I never seen the man. I don't know what he looks like. Bring the man here. Let me see what he looks like. These thoughts probably arose in the mind of Eliezer. Eliezer then, he thought probably the woman wouldn't go. So then he would have to bring Isaac to the woman. And maybe the woman would say too, well, if he wants to be married with me, let him come here and we will be married. These thoughts were running through the mind of Eliezer. And now, Abraham, he had such strong faith concerning even this, because he surely brought it to God. And he said unto Eliezer, thou shalt not bring my son back to this country, but thou shalt seek a wife from amongst my kindred. And the Lord God of heaven and of earth will send his angel before thee, and he will make thy way prosperous. Abraham then had faith to believe that God would see to it that Isaac received a wife. And so this man, he was the steward. He had charge of all the house, and he took 10 camels of his master, and he laded them with the things that were necessary, and he set off to seek a wife for Isaac. My hearers, do you not see in this how wonderful it is if we have grace, that we acknowledge God in this most important thing that takes place in life, marriage? Abraham acknowledged God. Abraham had a promise that God would give Isaac a wife. Oh, I say in my simplicity, blessed is the man who receives a wife of the Lord, and blessed is the woman that receives a husband of the Lord. Abraham and Sarah, they feared God, both of them. They acknowledged God in all their trials and in all their ways. And what a mercy, my hearers, if two parents, a father and a mother, fear God. Can you find them today in the church? I am afraid we can't find them. It's such a rare thing to find two that fear God and that have children, and that they bring these children up in the fear and in the nurture of the Lord, and that they lay before these children, like Abraham did before Isaac, the truths that are necessary to be known. God is with these parents. God was with Abraham in this matter. And this man left and went to this country. He went to this place where Abraham had dwelt when he was a boy. It was there that Nahor dwelt, and Bethuel, and they had a daughter by the name of Rebekah. They likewise had a son by the name of Laban. And now this man, Eliezer, he came to this country, and it was getting towards nighttime. He stopped to stay there for the night. He made the camels kneel down. And we find him doing what the camels did. I like that about this man. He kneeled down and he prayed to the Lord God of his master so that he would make his way prosperous, and that he was by this well, and that the woman that came to this well, who he should speak to and ask that she should give him water to drink, and she should offer to water the camels likewise that he had there without him asking her, that would be a sign for him that this was the woman that God wanted Isaac to have. He prayed then to this great God in heaven above. Oh, where can you find a servant like this, my heroes? If you're accustomed to having somebody work for you and you have somebody that fears God, what a mercy to have such a person. So here this man, he in his simplicity sought God in this matter. He put a place for God to show which woman Isaac should have. And we find that God gave unto him an answer to his prayer. He didn't entreat God for nothing. Oh no. For while he had not yet been done speaking his prayer, there came this woman. She came down to the well with a pitcher on her shoulder. It was Rebekah. And she came to fill the pitcher with water. And when he seen her, he ran to her. And he said unto her, give me to drink. And she took the pitcher down from her shoulder, and she says, drink, she says to this man. And she says, I will also draw water for thy camels also, that they may drink. What this must have done to this man. He had only just been speaking to God. Why, before they even pray, it says in the Bible, I will answer. And it was only a minute before that, probably, and he received an answer, this man. He seen that God wanted this woman to be the wife of Isaac. For she watered all the camels, and there were 10 of them. And you know, a camel takes an awful lot of water. So it must have took her quite a while to water these camels. But he stood there watching her, admiring her, and thanking God inside of his heart that God had given him the sign that he had prayed for. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a sign that you wanted fulfilled? Have you ever brought before God something and said, well, Lord, if you'll do this or you'll do that, then I know that you want me to have that. Let me ask you again, have you had an answer to it? How quick this man received an answer. Oh, he's a God that hears prayer, my hearers. Acknowledge him, my hearers, in all thy ways, and he will direct thy paths, it says in the Bible. It's a blessing to be a praying soul. It was a blessing for this man. Here he was in a strange country. He never seen this woman before. He didn't know what she looked like. He didn't know whether she would go along with him or not. But he went to the needs. He went to God with his need. And God supplied him in his need and answered him. And then he discovered unto Rebekah who he was, where he had come from. And he explained how rich Abraham was, how God had blessed him. And explained likewise how that he had his only son Isaac, and that Isaac was to be the heir of all that God had blessed Abraham with. And he gave unto this woman Rebekah, he gave unto her jewels of gold and silver, and he asked her if they had a place for him and his men to stay. Yes, she says, we have a place, we have provender and food enough for all of you. So she ran back to the house, and she began to relate unto Laban what she had experienced by the well. What a mercy this was for Rebekah, a mercy for Isaac and for Abraham, that God went before them and opened the way whereby Isaac would obtain a wife. May you, in all your ways, remember him. And may you find him to be a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. It's a mercy to have one answer to prayer in this life, my hearers. To think that you, a creature who are a sinner, should gain the ear of that great Jehovah, and into the sacrifice of Christ, and receive an answer. So that you may go back to this and that time and say, then and then, the Lord heard me when I was in distress. I will never forget him. That's all for today.